When we welcome others with food, we share of our wealth. We share of ourselves. We share our spirits with one another. When we neglect hospitality, we're sending a larger message than our physical poverty. We share that we are spiritually impoverished. Offering welcome is basic to Christian identity and practice. For most of the church's history, faithful believers located their acts of hospitality in a vibrant tradition in which needy strangers, including Jesus and the angels, were welcomed and through which people were transformed. Hospitality emerges from a grateful heart. It's a first response of love and gratitude for God's love and welcome to us. Because the practice is sometimes forgotten, and because it conflicts with a number of our contemporary values, we must intentionally nurture a commitment to hospitality. It must also be nurtured, because its blessings and benefits are not always immediately apparent. Anybody who's had a family dinner, for example, might be able to attest to that. Now, you all have nice blank faces, but I can tell some of you are thinking, why did we ever invite them over? And how about, why did we ever agree to come and share a meal with them? Because when we offer hospitality, our faults as well as our strengths are open to scrutiny. Hospitality to strangers, especially when practiced in community, has a way of laying bare our lives and surfacing our inadequacies. But hospitality is divine love in action. It turns all woundedness into health, all deformity into beauty, all embarrassment into laughter. A welcoming place is rich with stories, rituals, and a history. It's never simply a physical space, but a place alive with commitments, relationships, a space bounded by particular values and meanings. When we share ourselves as expected by God, when we offer hospitality, we are transformed. We experience the warm breath of God, the healing hand of God, the creative love of God. When you clothed the stranger, when you fed the hungry, you clothed me. You fed me. Every time you lift up your cup to drink, remember me. So, what are our expectations of ourselves, of our community, of our God? We tend to have very high expectations of God, sometimes not even realistic. Take answers to prayer, for example. We expect that God will shelter and protect us. We expect an inheritance from God. We're promised an inheritance from God. We expect to see God and experience God's power to our personal benefits. We expect of God to be the spirit of peacemaking, the witness to justice, the breaker down of walls of division, the builder of bridges, the loosener of chains, the opener of new pathways, and especially the lover of our souls. We expect our communities to be vibrant and alive, full of the Spirit of God and a wealth of friendship, support, encouragement, honesty, respect, love. We have high expectations layered onto our community, onto our God, onto ourselves. And we sometimes do put pretty outrageous expectations on ourselves. Think of your New Year's resolutions from the past couple of years. I'm not picking on you, I'm just noticing myself here. I'm human too. When they backfire, they fall to the wayside, we scavenge our dignity and our personal integrity with compromise, or with settling for less, or taking a different route altogether. Forget that diet, I'm just going to eat everything in sight. After all, we are only human. And it's true, we are human. Drawn into the expansive heart of God, we are accepted and loved as we are. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." And I would like to say this is a special message to our confirmands this day. You are the light of the world, each and every one of you. Alexa, Isabella, Michelle, Mason and Wesley, Dawn, Ian, Jade, Alex and Connor, you are the light of the world. I like even more what Jesus doesn't say in this passage. He does not say, one day, if you're perfect and you try really, really hard, you will be light. And he doesn't say, if you play by the rules and cross your T's and dot your I's, then maybe you'll become light. No, he says it straight out, you are light. You are already light of the world. It is the truth of who you are, waiting only for you to discover it. And if we choose to accept the challenge printed on the billboard, expect more, then we must engage, at least I would like to consider that we should engage, in a paradigm shift, a structural reconfiguration, to go from being only human after all to being fully human now. From Robert Browning, every joy is gain, and gain is gain, no matter how small. To be fully human is to be a whole person, to be light to this broken world of ours. It is to have the full range of emotions and experiences and trials and tribulations and triumphs, is to have a healthy sense of wonder at this resurrected God, this painter of rainbows, this midwife of creatures who surprises us. Do we expect an element of risk in our faith, in our communities, in our relationships? Hear this anecdote from a nun, Sister Kennedy. She says this, "I attended a workshop recently on entrepreneurial skills. I was amazed to find that these leaders of society, these business people, experts, politicians, were all agreed that a good entrepreneur needed to live with uncertainty, with risk, and ambiguity. A good leader needs to know how to wait, to live with questions, to allow questions to emerge, to be stubborn and flexible, to hold on to beliefs which at times appear to be inconsistent. That's exactly what the spiritual value of hope is. Only we don't call it an entrepreneurial skill. The spiritual value of hope. Hold on to beliefs which at times appear to be inconsistent. So the Easter so what is so hope. Live like you see the Christ in all whom you encounter. Expect to see the Christ in those around you, in the most unexpected places. This Easter story is full of wonder. It is frightening, and the story is cut off at an exciting part, because we, in fact, are a part of the unfolding story of resurrection, even these 2,000 years later. Remember, you were exactly what God had in mind when God created you. You have a story to tell of your faith journey. I invite you to share it, because somebody is just waiting to hear how your life has meaning and hope, because you know that you are loved by God, that you are light in this world, because you are fully human. You are created and loved by God. Jesus said, in the end of the story we heard this morning, Jesus said, "Don't cling to me. Go and tell the story." Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.